Hello and welcome to this episode of Bloodhound Picks, where we are doing a special screener spotlight that deals with a comic book we received instead of a movie. As always, I am one of your hosts, Craig.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Josh.
So this episode, as I mentioned before, is special because this is the first time that we've gotten a screener in a way that is of something non-movie or a TV show. And being a big horror comic fan, I'm excited. And it is also coming from the company 2000 AD, which is, I was very, of course, excited about even more because they're known for making Judge Dredd, which is an amazing comic. Mediocre movie from the 90s. An amazing movie from 2012. But we're not talking about Judge Dredd. We are talking about this Little Bone, which is a new horror comic. We were able to read book one, and the story itself is about a woman that is being interviewed by someone after about two decades that she escaped from this cult, and the cult was all about number 13, the kind of deconstruction of words and scrambling of words, which we'll get into a little bit more. And she decides to finally go back because she's been getting kind of these messages from an unknown source, and brings the interviewer who's doing the book on the cult with her. And all these strange things start happening, but we don't know if it's in her mind and the cult just messed with her so much, or if it's all real. But we'll get into that now and figure out what we thought. So, Kyle, if you want to go first, tell us your opinions and some plot stuff that we don't want to... Well, obviously, we don't want to spoil too much.
But we're going to spoil it, motherfuckers. So just, if you want to read it, go read it. We'll be here. Yes. It's also like a nature cult. That was like the biggest thing, that they're trying to get back to nature and primitive, whatever. I actually liked it. I don't read a lot of horror comics. And granted, it's very super derivative of like The Wicker Man and that kind of shit. But I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought they had some really cool illustrations and some cool page-turning moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not scary, but those kinds of shock moments, like a Junji Ito. I mean, I agree. Like, we were talking about this before we started recording. Where do you go with this story? So we read basically a first part of what would be some sort of continuing series. So based on where the plot went, I don't know where they would go either. But I liked it for what it was. I thought it was a quick read. I don't know. I don't have any deep thoughts at all.
No. We'll get into more because you brought up a bunch of points that I know we kind of were talking about beforehand. But Josh, what are your thoughts?
I just want to talk about the Judge Dredd movie now.
It's pretty badass.
Good. It is fucking good. I do read a lot of horror comics. I read a lot of comic books in general. So, this book was fine. It was strange to me that, because there's a lot of flashbacks, right, in the structure of the story. And the titular cult that the main character was being basically held captive by, it reminded me of the new Wrong Turn movie. Except for it was, that's all I kept thinking of was, like, these motherfuckers have seen this because it was, like, very, very similar, except for it was a lot more confusing as far as, like, what their agenda actually was, because I honestly was kind of clueless. Like, they kept saying things, but it was always like, I don't know, speaking in tongues or a different language to me. Like, just, you know, be clear about it. Like, in the Wrong Turn movie, you knew damn well what it was, right? I mean, there was no, like, hiding anything. But, yeah, it was weird because that's what the cult reminded me of in this book. Yeah, it was really quick. What was it? It was like 60 pages long. I felt like I felt like it could have been longer. I mean, that's not to say that I don't like things that go quickly and are an easy read, but there just seemed to be a lot of gaps in it. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but and then it just kind of ends. And I will say the ending was pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. You know, it was Wicker Man-y. It was definitely Wrong Turn, you know, the new Wrong Turn, which obviously we've seen, which I thought was kind of weird. Maybe it was coincidental. I don't know. But yeah, then in terms of how you're going to continue, cause to me, it seemed like, well, this story's done. What are you going to do? You know, so it was fine. That's about the extent of my take on it.
Well, I felt the same way about the length, though. Like, it could have just been, they could have added like 20 pages or whatever, and it could have just been one graphic novel and done.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever read, but I still think it could have been longer.
Yeah. I'd say, because this is what we were talking about before, so there are some weird technical things as a comic reader. I don't know if they're purposeful in the sense of what they're trying to do, and I'll get to that, I guess, in a second. But yeah, I think it felt very much like a movie. It was a movie script that then somebody said, oh, well, maybe it would be made easier if you turned it into a comic, and then we could be able to say, oh, it's adapted by this comic and made into a movie, because that's what some people have been suggesting.
But we don't know that for sure, right?
No, we don't. It just,
okay,
it reads more screenplay, or yeah, more movie than, I guess, a comic that isn't trying to do that. Which is, it's been this weird shift in comic book writing over the last decade or whatever, because of all the comic book adaptations, that a lot of people are ditching a lot of unique elements specifically toward comic writing to just kind of make, you know, something that can be easier to transition into a film, I guess. But the whole thing, so it's, they want to construct the words, so they're speaking in gibberish, and then they want to go back. And there's some interesting elements in the panels where you basically, if you think of like panels as different scenes or whatever you want to call them, or different shots, there'll be almost two scenes within one panel where you'll see them walking away in the distance, talking, and then them up close and they're in the same shot or stuff like that. But then there's also moments where, like, you know, if it's a Western comic we read top to, or just like reading in any Western literature, top to bottom, left to right. And I realized there's a lot of points where it's like, oh, the first line of dialogue in this whole section is down here in the right corner, and then like the placement is kind of off, and I thought if that was purposeful, but they don't do it enough to make it really noticeable. It just seems kind of like a fluke. And so there are these points where I'm reading and you kind of have that little hiccup. You're like, wait, they're talking about somebody was mutilated, but we don't have any of that information before. Oh, okay, so apparently they're mutilated. And but yeah, so there's some kind of weird structural formatting with the comic. But yeah, overall I think it was interesting. It does harken a lot back to Wicker Man, and of course you're dealing with, it's somewhere in the North UK, I think. I don't know, some of the slang, I know they don't necessarily give you an exact place, but and yeah, it's fine. It's interesting. Yeah, I'd agree with Josh and Kyle that there's kind of a lot of interesting elements to it that they just kind of don't really utilize. I don't know. It feels like it. If it wasn't a movie now, then it would just be some like 30-minute anthology thing. Or I wonder if Thistlebone moving forward would just be a new, completely new story, or what will happen.
Or the one lady will become like a cult leader herself or something, because she kind of went insane. I think they could have, like, if this was a movie, it would have been interesting if they just played with her being an ex-cult person and us not knowing whether she's losing her shit or something's really going on. Like, that could have just gone, because we kind of knew real stuff's happening pretty soon. Felt like it was pretty clear, like, something actually is happening. She's not really losing her mind. But they could have played with that for, like, a whole movie.
Yeah.
That would have been a better idea.
Well, they might, maybe going forward, they might do this, but the whole time I was reading it, it almost felt like the interviewer would become kind of the main character, or in some way, but then she never does. She just is kind of there to keep saying, oh, you're being crazy. You're not, none of this is actually happening. And that's all she does. But they set it up in a way that feels like she should then be the one that's kind of the cult, gets pulled into being the cult person. I don't know.
Could be in the next
book. That, and she's the catalyst for all the exposition too, because there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Right. Because she's obviously like, asking all the questions, then we're getting all the answers and we're getting all the exposition and the backstory, because, you know, the character has to answer her questions.
Yeah.
That slang too was like, you know, I feel like a moronic American, because I was just like, what the fuck are you saying? I'm not following this at all. And it was weird, because it was only those, like, hooligan kid characters that used it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not pissed about it, I just didn't get it.
So, that was... Do we have any final thoughts on the Thistlebone?
No. I'm interested to see how they continue it. I mean, if that's the plan, because... Yeah. It's weird, because to me it was over. Like, you're done. But good for them.
I mean, it has potential, and if this was kind of the setup for a much larger, I guess, story, and this was just, even though it was 60 pages and all that, and this was actually more the story of the interviewer and kind of her, I don't know, what term we're going to use, inciting incident or whatever you want to call it, then I think they might be able to do some, they might be able to do some fun stuff with it. But if they keep it with the same person that was the main character in this book, then I don't, there really isn't anywhere she could go, or the story can go, in my opinion.
Bloodhound Pigs Podcast is part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network, produced by Josh Lee, Craig Drum, and Kyle Hintz. Music by Raymond Seed. Editing by Kyle Hintz.